Does anybody have a testimony you'd like to
share?
Or give? Testify? Brother Paul? Judge got sick, so got postponed to November 9th. November 9th. Don't think so. Don't know. Fortunately, they called me. Yeah, fortunately they called me. Last time they did something like that, I walked up to her. Oh, we forgot to call you. And the lady says, I couldn't find your phone number. I said, you got the file? Uh-huh. How did I miss that? You're stupid, that's how. No, it's purposeful. That one was, so. Okay, Ecclesiastes. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand this sermon. A sermon that Solomon preached many years ago about life, life under the sun. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to learn from his testimony. Help us to learn that experience is not the greatest teacher. Experience of others is the greatest teacher. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to understand these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Ecclesiastes is a sermon. It is the Bible method of preaching. It shows how to deliver a sermon, I guess you could say. It doesn't show you how to outline one, and a person has to, when you write something down, okay, to deliver a message, you know, it needs to be organized. I've seen one preacher I saw lately, and he's got a huge church. And I could not believe how he had his sermon notes. I was watching on the side, and I think he had 20 or 25 little pieces of paper. And he would start off, one would be stacked here, and one here, and then one here, and one here, and one here, and one there. And he was going through that, and then he'd take this one and put it down, and then he'd take this one and put it down, and then he'd move this one over. And I was like, man, how does he keep that organized? And he was—he did a good job, but boy, that's how he does it every time. And I saw—I think I heard him preach three times, and each time, he had all those little pieces of paper. I put mine on one sheet of paper, front, and if it's longer, back—you know, the old Dutch way, okay—and all laid out. And then when you do write out your notes, you need to make comments into yourself. You know, like eye contact, like speak up, idiot, you know, stuff like that. You know, write those things to yourself. You don't say those things. You write them to yourself. Okay, and then all the references. Okay, Ecclesiastes shows what it is to have a sermon. You have a theme. The theme in this sermon is the vanity of life under the sun. And he'll run through it all the way through there. And he'll hit at point one, point two, point three, all the way through. Then he draws a conclusion at the end, chapter 12, verse 13. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And what preaching is, it's trying to draw somebody into a mindset or into your idea and make a decision. And a lot of times when people try to tell a story, you know, they take for granted that people know what you know. And you can't do it that way. You got to realize, okay, they're way over there at point A, and I want to get them to point B, and this is how I got to do it. Every little step of the way. Little process down through the time. Okay, Ecclesiastes. The word preacher is found 7 times here. And he's delivering this to an assembly. Chapter 12, verse 9, 10, 11. We got down to verse 9, and verse 9, 10, 11 shows a vicious cycle of the human race. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun, except for a new international version. I wonder if they got that verse in there. Okay, no new thing under the sun. If there is anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, it hath been already of old time, which was before us. There's no remembrance of former things. There's the problem why people are repeating history, is they don't study history, they don't remember history. There's no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Okay, we learn from history that men seldom learn from history. And when you study the past, you know the future. You don't even need to read the Bible to know the future, just by studying the past. There's an idea that a belief system that's called the New Age movement. And the New Age movement is not new. It's as old as Genesis chapter 11. I mean, that's where it all goes. The United Nations, what are they doing? They're trying to bring Genesis chapter 11 to pass. There's nothing new under the sun. All nations follow the same degenerate road that Israel followed. When they start off in some type of a, you know, constitutional republic or somewhere where the people start off and they are the sovereign authority of themselves and they don't really need government. Government is actually not important, not necessary in life in most cases. Okay, and so it started off that way, but then it degraded down to the judges. And then during the time of the judges, it degraded down into a monarchy. And then it went as the kingdom turns. And in the monarchy, eventually it will go down to sodomy. And then that's about the end of the nation. Okay, every nation does this. Rome did this. Greece did this. Media Persia did this. Babylon did this. America's doing this. In Judges chapter 19, 20, and 21, there's a story there. Remember, the book of Judges is about a society that is raised on secular humanism. Judges 17, verse 6 says, every man did that which is right in their own eyes. Judges 21, 25 repeats that phrase. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. There's no king in Israel. In Judges 19, you have a man with a concubine. And he comes home, and I mean, he stops at a guy's, an older man's house, and some queers knock on the door, and they say, we want to know the guy. And he says, no, you know, we can't do that. And the guy said, you can have my concubine. Raped her all night long. Killed her. She's dead in the morning. He gets up, tries to get ready to leave, saw she's dead, so he cuts her up in 12 pieces and sends her around to the 12 tribes. Absurd behavior. Well, the 12 tribes were actually 11 tribes because this one tribe, the Benjamites, was defending the queers and all this action. And 11 of the tribes got together and they was going to start a war with the one tribe. And they did, and they lost the first battle. They lost the second battle. And third time a charm, finally they beat them. And then after they beat them, they felt sorry for them. They said, they aren't going to have any daughters to marry because we killed a bunch of them. And so what should we do? So they had a Sadie Hawkins dance in Judges chapter 21, kidnapped a bunch of girls, and that's how the book ends. Now, where are we at in our country? What do? We go to a foreign country, blow it up, bomb it, you know, destroy everything, and then go back and rebuild it for them. Really makes a lot of sense, don't it? feel sorry for them, so we go back and rebuild it. You know, and it's just absurd what's going on in this country. Why is that? Because we got sodomites running a lot of things going on. I think we'd be surprised how many are hidden sodomites. Of course, now it's coming all out, but not only sodomites, but pedophiles and so forth and so on. I think we would be shocked if we knew how prevalent it was in our country. And we would need to be shocked. Okay, and so shortly the public school, you know, who have now taught that sodomy is an alternative lifestyle, will shortly they will begin to say that incest is a natural way of expressing love and bestiality is a natural way to express one's affection. Why? How do you know that? Romans chapter 1. That's all Bible prophecy. Every bit of it is Bible prophecy. You see, and you know this because you study the past. Rome did this. Media Persia did this. Was it Janet Reno that had 32 peacocks that she all called Herman? And you don't know if she was Janet or John? It? Where in her high school yearbook there was no Janet Reno, but there was a John Reno? Okay, and of course, you know, claimed to care for the children in Waco and then turned around and killed them. Okay, and that's this country's going right down the same tube, right down the same cotton-picking path that Israel went down. And when you read some of the Old Testament prophets were primarily focused on the religion of Judaism, but secondarily, they were focused on the patriotism of Israel. And they were pretty much side by side. And the reason why that is because under the Old Testament covenant, they had like not a church and state system. It was like a temple state system. The religion was interwoven into the government structure under the Old Testament with Israel. And so that's why these men were like that. When you read some of those prophets, you'll notice that they will be aiming their words. Jeremiah aimed his words not only at the religious priest, he aimed his messages to the politicians of his day. He'd aim it at both of them. He'd blame the preachers first, the politicians second, and the people third. Because it says in Jeremiah 5 verse 30 that the prophets and the priests bear rule by their own means. And my people love to have it so. And Isaiah said that these people told him, don't speak unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesied deceits. And so that's where it is in our country. It's going right down the same tube. Now this nation, as the common people, chose God, chose the Lord Jesus to be the king spiritually over it. Where Israel was chosen by God. So verse 9, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. Okay? We know the future by studying the past. The common saying that people often say that experience is the greatest teacher. No, it's not. Experience is the hardest teacher. Experience of others is the greatest teacher. Now, the reason why the vast majority of people do not want to learn or take a knowledge from the experiences of others is because of the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:13 mentions the deceitfulness of sin. Where Abraham did this, and this was the outcome, but I can do the same thing, and it won't happen to me. You see, and people think you do the same act, but you see, this was the outcome in the Bible, but that's not going to be the outcome for me. And that's the deceitfulness of sin. Okay, this idea of the new thing. Always looking for something new. Okay, some say this is new. It hath already been of old time, which was before us. If you would look in Acts 17, verse 21. There's the Athenians, the Greek guys back in the Old Testament. They spent their time trying to search for new things. Now, is it any wonder that we have a 5 o'clock and a 10 o'clock, a 6 o'clock and a 10 o'clock news broadcast, and a news paper, and all this news, you know. Acts 17, verse 21, "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Always looking for something new. You see, back in the 50s, it was, you know, Elvis and company. Then the Beatles. Okay, that, but you see, that bubblegum rock, that didn't satisfy. Then it got into, you know, the disco, then it into the hard rock, then into the heavy metal. You know, all going right down the same cotton-picking path. You see, now, you know, the utter perversion of this doesn't satisfy people, and they always got to find something new, some new pervert. Okay, and that's where the Bible prophesies these things. Okay, anybody that watches the news must realize that they're trying to program you and I. They call it programming. They're not hiding it. It's called a media or a medium. And they're trying to control our thinking. And it's amazing. It's not difficult to control the thinking of a nation simply by the news. It's really not that difficult. I mean, if you go out and start interviewing the average person on the street, does the Constitution say anywhere there's a separation of church and state? 99.9% of Americans will say yes. And there's no such animal in there. Nowhere. I mean, this one lady just got scoffed at. Big time. For being honest about the First Amendment. You see? Years ago, we had a Jewish guy. He taught at St. Joe College, and his fifth grade child had an opportunity to read it, to receive a Gideon Bible, Gideon New Testament, when they did it in fifth grade. He wasn't forced to take it. He was given the opportunity. He had to walk, if he wanted it, he had to walk up to the front, pick up the New Testament, and then go back to his seat. Well, this guy didn't want anybody to have that right. And he sued the school. At the local level, he lost. At the next level down in Lafayette, he lost. You know, the public was pretty fired up. When it got to the federal level, I knew from then on out the school was going to lose. And they did. This guy won at the federal level. Okay, and in that process, back then, during the Rensselaer Republican allowed you to write letters to the editor, and they printed everything you wrote, and I was sending them in. And I mentioned about this. I mentioned that there's already a religion established in a public school. The religion is called secular humanism. And the Constitution doesn't even say anything about separation of church and state. And one guy, one of the professors at St. Joe, he was going after me. I was going back and forth with them. And he said, you know, well, as it's spelled out in the Constitution, when the federal courts ruled against the school, this guy said, as it's spelled out in the federal Constitution, this is a good decision because of separation church and state. I put my letter in. I said, the guy must have flunked spelling class. Give you $50 to show me the phrase separation church and state in the Constitution. It's not in there. But the average American thinks it is. Why? Because the media has constantly harped at them. Truth is often stranger than fiction. You see? And so, here it is right in front of us. That which hath been is that which shall be. So, we repeat. Everything's repeating. Life is too short just to learn from your own mistakes. We should learn from the mistakes of others. And our country's going down the same path Rome went down. And all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Okay, Ecclesiastes 1, verse 12. There's a paragraph mark. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. Okay, Solomon. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Now, when you get into chapter 2, you see a lot of things that Solomon became a part of. But Solomon had the money. He had the time. In the old days, the only ones that got educated, like in Europe, would be the kings and their family, the royal family and stuff. They were the only ones that could read. Everybody else was kept dumb. Okay? And so they had the time, had the money. Solomon had the time, had the money. And he started studying everything. And it's amazing to me, you know, how people just don't want to learn. They get in their little, all I got to know is this little thing, and I don't need to study anything else. And so forget reading, forget anything else. This is going to take me through life. And there's so much out there to learn. It's limitless to try to understand things. And of course, you don't have enough time to figure all these things out. So you try to figure out something and then study that. It's a great joy to learn. When you have kids set in a desk at a public school, whatnot, they make learning boring, dull, monotonous. I mean, it has to be a crime to put a boy behind a desk in April and May, when he wants to go out and play in the dirt. I mean, that has to be an absolute crime. Now, the high school I went to, Lowell High School, back in when I was there, we had a lot of time where we can go and goof off. Okay, and we could, everybody knew the pattern. They start off the school year, stating that you can't go anywhere without a pass. We knew that lasts about 2 weeks. Then you go anywhere you want through the school. And who wanted to stay in school? I used all that time to use some real practical things. I learned wood shop, electronics, and things like that, and took the minimal stuff in case, by chance, I thought of going to college. Had no plans to. But I thought, I'm going to get the practical things out of this. Okay, and so, but the idea is, you know, as far as setting behind a desk. When I was going through college, you had this required reading list. I hated reading that stuff. I hated reading the required reading. If I had a choice of picking up a book that I wasn't required to read, I'd pick that every time. The required reading, that's when speed reading came in. You know, right down, didn't pick up anything. But it's just the idea of it and the boredom of it, okay? But a lot of times a person needs to motivate themselves to learn. There's so much out there to learn. Wisdom, he says in verse 13, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. Verse 14, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Vexation, vexing, like a hex. It's a vexing of one's spirit. When a person goes down this path of life, most of the time they are just like Audubon's going down these steps. They don't think about eternity, or rarely think about that. And they're walking down this path, and before they know it, you know, they have kids, and then before they know it, those kids are graduated, and then after that, you got grandkids, and then, you know, their body's falling apart and about ready to stick them in a grave. You're saying they've just walked down this path. Most people do not live their life. Most people exist. They breathe air in, carbon dioxide out, you see, and that's how they live. They'll live and die, many of them, and maybe 20 people show up at their funeral, and their life really didn't count for a whole lot. And that's a very sad thing. I would say we need to live above the animals, live differently than animals do. But what the reason why that is the spirit gets vexed. They get into a dull state, and they don't even recognize that this is happening to them. It's a vexation of spirit, vanity and vexation of spirit. Verse 15, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Okay, that which is crooked, Satan, cannot be made straight. Now, we obviously understand that he is limiting his viewpoint of life under the sun, but we know in the New Testament, because of the new birth, then someone who was crooked can be made straight by the blood of Jesus Christ. But looking at life from under the sun, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. So we see that crooked is the opposite of straight, except for in San Francisco. The opposite of straight is gay. I mean, they call us straight, so then let's call them crooked. Okay, if we just use the words, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart. Okay, he's talking to himself. I communed with mine own heart. Now, that's something that a person needs to do. Talk to yourself. The prodigal son, it says in Luke 15, the prodigal son, it says he came to himself. Nehemiah mentioned, he said, I consulted with myself. Nehemiah 13, verse 6. A sign of being crazy is when a guy talks to himself. But a sign of being filled with the Spirit is a guy that talks to himself. Now, what do we say to ourselves? It's like one time an elderly lady, grandma, great-grandma, was talking to herself, and the kids say, Grandma, are you talking to yourself again? She said, at least I'm talking to somebody that's got some sense. Okay, and so we need to talk to ourselves. Ephesians 5, verse 19, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, this is verbal communication. Yes, we can pray quietly. Yes, we can read our Bible quietly in silence. But there's something about reading and hearing the Word of God verbally. And there's times you need to actually talk to yourself. You ever seen an athlete do that? Sometimes they talk to himself, going up the bat, going to the free throw line. They're reminding themselves. Okay, and so a believer needs to talk to himself. It says in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel fainted when he saw Gabriel. And Gabriel said to Daniel, be strong. I say unto you, be strong. Just words, audible words. And Daniel said, and I receive strength. Just by the spoken word. Now, I know the charismatics take this to an extreme, and they're nutcases. But you know, every once in a while, the Lord will help out a nutcase like that just because he's looking for somebody to trust him. Okay, and so we need to say these things to ourselves. If you're having a difficult time with somebody, say out loud, I forgive them, whether you mean it or not. Just say it. Okay, and say these things audibly. Tell yourself, I communed with mine own heart, Solomon said, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Now, this guy had all this wisdom, yet, he married 300 wives and 700 concubines, or vice versa. I think it's 700 wives, 300 concubines. You see, education, formal education in America is a false god. It's a pagan god. The Greeks seek after knowledge. And you'll see that the media constantly will harp on getting a college education, highly overrated. Absolutely highly overrated. You get a good college education, you'll get a good job. 80% of college graduates do not use their degree. 80% of them. They don't use what they majored in. And that's a known survey all across this country. What do they get? They get a big debt in many cases. But the media constantly says what these kids need to do is they need to be better educated. So what are we going to do? Throw more money at the public school system. And what do they get? Nothing. New Jersey, it cost, last I checked, it was like $12,000 a year to, quote, educate a kid in New Jersey. Where at the same time, over in Iowa, it was costing $3,500 a year per child, and Iowa's SAT scores was higher, much higher than New Jersey's. Okay, it's not money. I mean, they're just dumbing them down all the time. And now you're seeing in the school boards, it's not the common people that are getting involved in the school boards. It is former teachers. Teacher, another superintendent, another teacher, and what are they doing? They are constantly building million-dollar complexes, keeping the people in poverty. You're seeing that all across, consolidating these schools. Why do they want to consolidate them? The more you get in a building, the smaller the parent is. The more control they have. When they had these little schools, a parent could walk into the principal and the principal would have to listen. Not now. They don't have to listen to anything. Why? Because you're one of 1,000 now. Where when it's in a small one school room, there's one of 30. And your word meant something. But this country is, they worship education. They think that education is all the answer. The nation of Germany was 98% literate when they voted Adolf Hitler in office. They were not dumb people. The more educated a man is, he just figures out better ways to kill people. You see? And so Solomon here says, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Well, it depends what kind of wisdom, what kind of knowledge. Verse 17, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. That's one and the same in most cases. You go down any college campus on a Saturday night, wise kids, drunk as could be, can't even stand up straight. They're mad. Folly in the Bible is not just foolishness. Folly in the Bible often involves perversion. I don't know if you read Mike Roberts' latest letter. There's three orphan boys that he has taken under his wing, built a house for them. They're not really orphans. The mother died. Dad's still alive. But what happened is the dad got drunk and beat his mother to death in front of the boys. He was in jail, and when he sobered up and realized what he did, remorseful, he went insane. Roams the country, roams the area now, insane, because he realized what he did when he was drunk. And Mike Roberts is brought to three boys. I think all three gotten saved now. But you see, that's folly. People do things drunk that they wouldn't normally do. I gave my heart to know wisdom. You see, the average person says, well, I know when to stop. I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is, notice, much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. The more you know, the more pessimistic you get. The more you know, the more negative you get. The more sorrow you have because you see people walking down this path and you know what's going to happen to them. And you could tell them about it, they're not going to pay attention to you, they're not going to listen. And you could tell him about 5 years from now, this is what's going to happen to you if you keep going down this path. Oh, no, it's not. You don't know what you're talking about. You're an old fuddy-dud. You just don't know anything. And 5 years later, they're down there in that ditch, just like you said. You see? And this country, anybody that knows what's going on in this country, it is in for bad waters. It deserves God's judgment. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. It says Jesus was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Now granted, if you just look at life from under the sun, that's how it is. But in the New Testament, we obviously see that we can look at life above the sun. We can look at all the negative things that's happened, all the tragedy that's going to happen, all the chaos that's going to happen in this country. But for the born-again believer, that's our ticket out of here. That just shows we're closer to Christ coming. You see, and even during those times, if the Lord allows a lot of this mess to take place before the rapture, then we have a wonderful opportunity to minister to others. Instead of running and hiding and being a little hermit and trying to protect all my little stuff, hey, that's a wonderful opportunity to reach out and help people, minister to people, because now they're desperate. They'll be looking for answers then. You see, where America thinks they got all the answers now, they won't when the money goes bad. They won't when the banks are closed. They won't when the grocery store's empty. It only operates in like a 3-day service, 3-day span in there. It used to be America could, you know, the average American was living their life, planning their life a year in advance. Agriculture planned a year in advance. The average American today, if the truck stopped running and they quit delivering food, the average American would think they're starving to death in 2 weeks. Even though they can live off the fat of the land for probably 3 months. Okay, but still, that's what they would think. They can fast a long time, but no water, it can't last long. You see, and in much knowledge is much grief. You see, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So, a person can look at it one way, okay, it's making a life tough, making things tough, but you have a wonderful opportunity to help people. Because when they're desperate, man will not consider the Lord until they're desperate. You see? And that's why you could knock on doors in a poor community and get some conversations going, talk to people. But in most rich communities, no way. Get out of here. Get out of my face. They're not desperate. Okay, so that's Ecclesiastes 1:18. We'll start chapter 2 next time. Okay, any questions or comments we covered? Okay.